Welcome to the Fear and Greed Business Interview. I'm Adam Lang. More property sales are delivering a profit for vendors, with the median gross profit rising to a massive $310,000 late last year. CoreLogic's latest Pain and Gain report is out today, looking at around 90,000 resales across the final 3 months of 2023, which saw that sellers of 94% of property sales made a profit. Loss-making resales fell to 6%, and while that particular percentage will be painful, it is more proof overall that the property market is gaining momentum. Eliza Owen is CoreLogic's head of research. Eliza, welcome back to Fear and Greed.
Adam, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to have you back. There are some fascinating numbers in this report, the Pain and Gain report. Across the quarter, how long were people typically holding onto properties before they resold them?
Across Australia, the median hold period was 9 years, and that's a little bit higher than what we saw in the previous quarter. For profit-making sales, there was a slightly higher level of hold period compared to those that made a nominal loss. But what was really interesting was that we started to see loss-making sales associated with relatively short hold periods in some of the markets that have had more short, sharp declines in recent years. So across Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Hobart, loss-making house sales were associated with these periods of holding for kind of 2 years, a little bit less in Brisbane, 1.7 years. So that kind of reflects where we've come off a massive upswing in home values and maybe some of those sellers not waiting until their property is getting back to a record high to make a sale.
So, Eliza, amongst that data, what do you think was driving those shorter-term sales? What were the reasons that people wanted to get in and out of their house so quickly?
Well, this is a big part of, I guess, why this data gets more and more scrutinized, is because it's revealing what might be some of the implications of a rapid increase in mortgage rates over such a short period of time. For many households, adjusting to a higher interest rate environment means less discretionary spending or restructuring their mortgage payment or reducing their savings and putting more towards their housing costs. But unfortunately for some people, it might mean reselling their property after a relatively short period of time. So when we looked at short-term resales across the country, we saw an increase in the portion of short-term sellers. People selling within a three-year period reached about 17% over 2023. People selling within 2 years was just under 10%. What is good, though, about the majority of those sales is that they are making a profit. And when we look at the December quarter, only about 6.5% of properties resold within that three-year period actually made a nominal loss.
So in that period, 21, 22 and into 23, we saw, as you mentioned, unprecedented mortgage rate increases. 0.1 was the RBA set rate through to 4.35. And that rarely happens in history. And I think many people were surprised by that. Do you think that given that quick rise in interest rates, that this actually only 6% of people making a loss on their resale is actually a pretty small number in these circumstances?
I do, especially when we look at the people who have held between 2 and 4 years, only 4% of those resellers made a loss, and that's below the national rate of 6%. So when you take into account the resellers in a three-year period, it's a pretty marginal difference from the overall rate of loss-making that we were seeing across the country. The key to this and what we usually see when there's an increase in profitability is basically that housing values are rising. It comes back to the fact that despite that adjustment to a higher interest rate environment, national home values found a new record high in November last year, and they've only continued to increase over the past few months. So that suggests that when we do this same analysis for the March quarter, even fewer resellers, whether they're recent resellers or not, will be making a loss. And it really ties into that idea that financial stability in Australia's mortgage market is underscored by this ongoing increase in Australia's housing market.
Do you consider that given the supply constraints in property, that this actually could be present for a while?
I do. I think that the undersupply in the housing market is something that is creating that additional pressure on values. There's the record levels of net overseas migration, changes in household formation where average household size is reduced and people are demanding more property as a result of that. And I don't think that that's changing anytime soon because, again, high interest rates mean that we've got this decline in new approvals coming through as well. New development projects don't stack up in terms of feasibility right now. So, again, it all kind of ties into the tension between providing adequate supply for Australians and also the financial stability piece as well. It's even interesting when you consider, you know, some of the weaker markets over the past few years, like your outer suburban markets or inner city unit markets, also tend to be the areas that are targeted for high growth, more supply. So I think financial stability is a really interesting lens that you could apply to housing supply, basically with the implication that maybe we should be targeting more high equity, high growth areas that can cop the additional supply from a mortgage serviceability perspective and equity position.
Stay with me, Eliza. We'll be back in a minute. I'm speaking to Eliza Owen, CoreLogic's Head of Research. If you could take us now to the differences between housing and units, can you spot a difference in the profit figures between housing and units? Are more sellers making more profits on houses than apartments?
Absolutely. So reliably, houses have been more profitable than units over time. In the December quarter, 97% of house resales made a nominal gain compared to 88% of unit resales. So this is a pretty big differential in profitability. It kind of peaked that differential earlier in the downswing in mid-2023 and has started to narrow. Not only that, but we tend to see that houses make a greater nominal gain from resales as well. So the nominal median gain of profit-making house sales was almost $380,000 in the December quarter compared to $170,000 in units. So less than half the amount of the gain that we see from a house sale at the median level.
Mm. And what about regional areas? When we've spoken to you before, you've noted differences in regional area results. What are they showing this time?
Regional markets showed more profitability than the capital cities. So in this latest quarter, we've seen the rate of profitability was almost 96% of resales in regional Australia compared to 93% in the capital cities. And when we look at the areas of particularly high loss-making sales, some of the biggest pockets of loss have been concentrated in high-density urban markets like Parramatta and Melbourne.
So if there was a league table for property markets, Eliza, where were the most profitable markets overall?
Some of the most profitable markets were in relatively high-end areas. So if you take Sydney, for example, over 99% of resales made a profit in Mosman and Randwick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When you look at some of the weaker markets by LGA, again, Melbourne probably stands out as one of the worst. Around 40% of resales in the Melbourne LGA made a nominal loss.
In the whole Melbourne local government area?
Yeah. So what it is that it's largely unit resales. And historically, when we've looked more deeply into the resales, we found most of them are investor-owned.
Right.
And they have an average year built of 2012. So a lot of those kind of high-density projects that were fueled by investor demand in the 2010s are the housing stock that have not gained much value over time. The market composition has changed. We're not in that sort of mid-2010s environment where 45% of the market was investors. So you'll see a lot more owner-occupiers making up demand in the housing market nowadays. And that reflects the level of demand that you get for that high density, relatively cheap inner city unit stock, the Melbourne LGA unit market has barely moved in the past decade. Values there have ticked up about 1% in the past decade overall. And that's why we're seeing so much loss from resale. And it seems that investors are willing to cop it.
That's incredible. So if we take the composite of all this data, what does it mean for the debate over housing affordability? I imagine it fuels concerns about the difficulties for first home buyers to get into the market in the first place. But is that true? And what else can it tell us?
What kind of stands out to me is the extraordinary gain of those who have benefited from ownership over a long period of time. When we look at the median result of different hold periods, we still have this old adage of time in the market ringing true. Those who held for 30 years or more had a median result from their resale of around $785,000 in nominal increase. So I guess for those considering home ownership, this data shows us time and time again that the longer you're in the market, the more likely you would have been to achieve higher capital gains. It also reflects that there are areas where vendors are willing to sell at a loss, but they might not be the kinds of markets that first-home buyers are interested in. They tend to be your high-density, investor-concentrated markets like inner-city Melbourne, Parramatta. Even the Perth CBD is one of the weaker areas for profit-making sales, even in the context of a massive uplift in Perth home values over the past few years.
Eliza, that is terrific information and perspective. Thank you very much for talking to Fear and Greed.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was Eliza Owen, CoreLogic's Head of Research. This is the Fear and Greed Business Interview. Join us every morning for the full episode of Fear and Greed, daily business news for people who make their own decisions. I'm Adam Lang. Enjoy your day.